Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 423. Give me, O Lord, an understanding heart, that I may learn to know myself in Thee, to spurn the wrong and choose the better part, and thus from sinful bondage be set free. Hymn number 423. Scriptural this morning will be given by Shahidat from Maryland.
Our reading from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer, and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 283. Praise we the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Let us extol him with joyous and loving endeavor. Come, let us sing, praising our God and our King. Should we be silent? Ah, never. Hymn number 283.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And if you missed the one this morning, you have to catch it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. Not one to miss. Also on Sundays at 11 a.m., we have a Sunday school for children, which is carried on through a teleconference number provided so that any child anywhere in the world can attend that Sunday school. And every Wednesday evening at 8:15, we have a testimony meeting where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives transformed through the study and practice of Christian Science. And we have a nursery available at all of our services for the very, very young ones. You can find us not only here in Plainfield, New Jersey, but also on our website, plainfieldcs.com. We have a channel on YouTube, and you can find us on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can listen to our services, if you're not in the area, on our website live, on our YouTube channel, or on your telephone via a teleconference number that we provide specifically for that purpose. Next Saturday morning, we will have another Bible study session, so please check the website for the Bible study questions and join us next Saturday. That's 10 a.m. East Coast time. And there is an article featured on our website that is very appropriate for this week's lesson entitled Everlasting Punishment by Doris White Evans. Excellent article. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. Now we're going to have a reading of a testimony from the chapter entitled Fruitage in Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Pam from Virginia.
Page 642, Grateful for Many Blessings. It is with sincere gratitude for the many blessings Christian Science has brought me that I give this testimony. I first heard of Christian Science about 15 years ago. A friend of mine was taking treatment for physical troubles and was reading the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. The title of the book appealed to me very strongly. I said to my friend, if this is a key to the scriptures, I must have it. I had long been a member of a Bible class in an Orthodox Sabbath school, but I never felt satisfied with that which was taught. There was something lacking. I did not understand then what it was. I purchased a copy of Science and Health and began to study it. I wish I could express in words what that book brought me. It illumined the Bible with a glorious light, and I began to understand some of the Master's sayings and tried to apply them. I had had a longing to live a better Christian life for many years, and often wondered why I failed so utterly to understand the Bible. Now I knew. It was lack of spiritual apprehension. I did not know at first that people were healed of disease and sin by simply reading Science and Health, but found after a while that such was the case. At that time, I had many physical troubles, and one after another of these ills simply disappeared, and I found that I had no disease. I was perfectly free. The spiritual uplifting was glorious, too, and as I go on in the study of this blessed science, I find I am gaining surely to understanding that helps me to overcome both sin and disease in myself and in others. My faith in good is increased, and I know I am losing my belief in evil as a power equal to good. The pathway is not wearisome, because each victory over self gives stronger faith and a more earnest desire to press on. EJR, Toledo, Ohio.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 10 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Everlasting Punishment. The golden text is from Acts. Repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The responsive reading is from Job. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee.
Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart.
If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles.
For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God.
Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows.
Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways.
Bruce will read from the Bible.
Numbers. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. 2 Chronicles. Then said Solomon, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people, Israel, be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Luke. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Then said he unto the disciples, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, 'I repent,' thou shalt forgive him." Hebrews. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The design of love is to reform the sinner. The attributes of God are justice, mercy, wisdom, goodness, and so on. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. Harmony is produced by its principle, is controlled by it, and abides with it. Divine principle is the life of man. Man's happiness is not therefore at the disposal of physical sense. Truth is not contaminated by error. Harmony in man is as beautiful as in music, and discord is unnatural, unreal. For true happiness, man must harmonize with his principle, divine love. The Son must be in accord with the Father, in conformity with Christ. Does divine love commit a fraud on humanity by making man inclined to sin and then punishing him for it? In common justice, we must admit that God will not punish man for doing what he created man capable of doing and knew from the outset that man would do. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. We sustain truth not by accepting, but by rejecting a lie. It is related in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel that Jesus was once the honored guest of a certain Pharisee. A strange woman came in. She bore an alabaster jar containing costly and fragrant oil. Breaking the sealed jar, she perfumed Jesus' feet with the oil, wiping them with her long hair, which hung loosely about her shoulders, as was customary with women of her grade. Did Jesus spurn the woman? Did he repel her adoration? No. He regarded her compassionately. Nor was this all. Knowing what those around him were saying in their hearts, especially his host, that they were wondering why, being a prophet, the exalted guest did not at once detect this woman's immoral status and bid her depart. Knowing this, Jesus rebuked them with a short story or parable. he described two debtors, one for a large sum and one for a smaller, who were released from their obligations by their common creditor. Which of them will love him most was the master's question to Simon the Pharisee. And Simon replied, "He to whom he forgave most." Jesus approved the answer and so brought home the lesson to all, following it with that remarkable declaration to the woman, "Thy sins are forgiven." Her reverence was unfeigned, and it was manifested towards one who was soon, though they knew it not, to lay down his mortal existence in behalf of all sinners, that through his word and works they might be redeemed from sensuality and sin. The likeness of God we lose sight of through sin, which beclouds the spiritual sense of truth. And we realize this likeness only when we subdue sin and prove man's heritage, the liberty of the sons of God. If we look to the body for pleasure, we find pain. For life, we find death. For truth, we find error. For spirit, we find its opposite matter. Now reverse this action. Look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thoughts. Divine science, adjust the balance as Jesus adjusted it. Science removes the penalty only by first removing the sin which incurs the penalty. This is my sense of divine pardon, which I understand to mean God's method of destroying sin. If the saying is true, while there's life, there's hope, its opposite is also true. While there's sin, there's doom. Another suffering cannot lessen our own liability. There is no hypocrisy in science. Principle is imperative. You cannot mock it by human will. Science is a divine demand, not a human. Always right, its divine principle never repents, but maintains the claim of truth by quenching error. The pardon of divine mercy is the destruction of error. If men understood their real spiritual source to be all blessedness, they would struggle for recourse to the spiritual and be at peace. But the deeper the error into which mortal mind is plunged, the more intense the opposition to spirituality, the error yields to truth. Man's enslavement to the most relentless masters, passion, selfishness, envy, hatred, and revenge, is conquered only by a mighty struggle. Every hour of delay makes the struggle more severe. If man is not victorious over the passions, they crush out happiness, health, and manhood. Here, Christian Science is the sovereign panacea, giving strength to the weakness of mortal mind, strength from the immortal and omnipotent mind, and lifting humanity above itself into purer desires, even into spiritual power and goodwill to man. I hope, dear reader, I am leading you into the understanding of your divine rights, your heaven-bestowed harmony, that as you read, you see there is no cause outside of erring mortal material sense, which is not power, able to make you sick or sinful. And I hope that you are conquering this false sense. Knowing the falsity of so-called material sense, you can assert your prerogative to overcome the belief in sin, disease, or death. Do not believe in any supposed necessity for sin, disease, or death, knowing as you ought to know that God never requires obedience to a so-called material law, for no such law exists. The belief in sin and death is destroyed by the law of God, which is the law of life instead of death, of harmony instead of discord, of spirit instead of the flesh. Vibrating like a pendulum between sin and the hope of forgiveness, selfishness and sensuality causing constant retrogression, our moral progress will be slow. Waking to Christ's demand, mortals experience suffering. This causes them, even as drowning men, to make vigorous efforts to save themselves. And through Christ's precious love, these efforts are crowned with success. Eventually, both sin and suffering will fall at the feet of everlasting love.
Please join me now in a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 169. Lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me. Hymn number 169.
The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the Master from her box of alabaster, "I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his oil in my alabaster box." I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my day into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. And now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven.
Let's now sing hymn number 14. Arise, arise and shine. On thee hath dawned the day. God is thy sun and Christ thy light. Be thou a steadfast ray. Hymn number 14.